that's problematic because I've said a lot of things.
Hello and welcome to the super colorful original telecommunicated transmission, otherwise known as ScottCast. I am here today in the brand new, never before seen again. No, that's not right. Anyways, I'm here in the brand new ScottCast headquarters with none other than... I'll get it right sometime. That's right, fan favorite. How are you feeling? How are you feeling about this here new ScottCast headquarters?
I think this is the perfect place for ScottCast.
Wow. We've been through a lot of places.
We have.
Sobieski, Norwalk. We even tried internationally for a spell.
Yeah.
But this is the perfect place.
I think so.
Wow. What makes it the perfect place to you?
It's back to the Hamtramck roots. It's like the most Hamtramck spot you can be.
It is possibly besides, I don't even know. Is there any other?
I don't think you could be more.
Like in the mayor's office, maybe.
Yeah. If we broadcasted live from like Hamtramck Disneyland, maybe.
Hamtramck, okay, yeah, I could see that.
But I think like culturally, this is the hub. Like Hamtramck Disneyland's kind of in the middle of nothing else.
Yeah, it's a big art installation in the backyard of some random residential home.
Yeah.
But here, this is the hub. In the window, you see lit up in neon the Hamtramck, not the Hamtramck wiener, the Kowalski wiener. I'm the Hamtramck wiener. You'll see me lit up all the time here. But, yeah, we got that downstairs. I don't know if I want to dox myself too much, but fuck it. You know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
If I dox myself, fine. You know, I deserve it. If ScottCast somehow blows up to a point where my location is a public concern, you know, we'll be breaking in so much money, we'll turn this into, like, a podcast studio. We'll strike a deal.
Yeah.
And we'll make this just, like, the public face.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we're above Cafe 1923. We got Kelly's bar right next door.
Mm-hmm.
Like as I podcast, it's got a big red neon sign I can see through the curtain that says open.
Yep.
You know, right on Holbrook. The first thing you see, right? When you go in, when you enter Hamtramck from the south.
Yeah.
The first thing you see is the big neon Kowalski wiener sign.
That's right.
You're wearing a shirt that you designed of our famed creation, the Hamtramck Avengers. And you used the Kowalski wiener sign as part of the design. You turned the wiener into the left side of the H.
Mm-hmm.
And then you blatantly stole the Avengers logo, hoping that parody law will save the day in the Supreme Court one day.
I have confidence that it will.
Okay, very good. If Weird Al can do it, we can do it.
And we're like essentially in the spot that inspired that whole thing.
We are. That's right. Like episode, what was it, 17? We had a little story about these vigilantes that sprang out of the Cafe 1923 to tackle a tip jar bandit against a dumpster. That's a real story that happened downstairs some odd years ago in 2017.
Yeah.
2018, I think it was, actually. No, it was 27. No, it was 2018. No, it was 2017. I got it.
Either 17 or 18.
One of them. It's hard to say.
Pre-pandemic, doesn't matter.
Pre-candy. You know, that big soup of years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, Henry Ford invented the automobile and Hamtramck Avengers had descended upon a tip jar bandit and space was invented. So, yeah, I am super excited to be here. I finally landed. I finally have a place of my own. I feel good about it. There's free Wi-Fi here. Steal it from the cafe. And afterwards, after this podcast is done, we're going to go downstairs and we're going to go across the street to Kelly's and we're going to have ourselves a fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, it's a definitive thing we're doing. What do you think a fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich is? It's $4.
Yeah. I hope it's deep fried.
I hope it's deep fried too. Like they put a stick
like
through the middle of a normal PBJ.
Dip it in batter.
Dip it in batter, stick it in a fryer for a minute or so. put it on a plate. Maybe we could eat it with the stick.
I hope so.
You know, fried PBJ on a stick
would
be excellent.
I have a feeling they mean pan fried, so like a grilled cheese, really.
I mean, it's toasted.
Yeah, it is.
It's toasted, you know?
I don't know. Like I said, I hope it's deep fried.
Me too. If it's not deep fried, I'll send it back to the kitchen. You know, you know where to put this. If you want me to have it. But I'm excited.
Mm.
It could be the death of me. Kind of like how Elvis died eating like those. Like he ate sandwiches that had like two jars of peanut butter, like a bunch of bananas.
And like bacon on them.
And bacon. Yeah. And like probably
cocaine.
Probably a little cocaine. You know, because it makes you drowsy. I don't know if you've had two cans of peanut butter before, but it makes you sleepy at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you want to go to your couch and kind of stretch and do away with the world for a few hours. But put a little cocaine in there, and now you can go rock and roll all night and party every day, just like Elvis did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wrote that song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to explore Hamtramck.
Mm-hmm.
The first time around, the first 6 years, I didn't really go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed home, and I went to like the one or two bars I went to. I went to the one grocery store I always went to. And walking up and down Joseph Campa back and forth, I realized I've never been to any of these businesses.
Some of them seem like they're hardly even businesses.
Yeah. Some of them I might not ever want to go into. There's some businesses that have been around forever, but are never open for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, possibly they are different businesses in disguise,
mm-hmm.
otherwise known as fronts.
Yeah.
But with the land prices and rent going up across the board in this town, I don't know how long a front can really operate. They have to go find a new podunk neighborhood to wash their laundry in.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying. Talk about laundering money for drug crimes.
Yep.
We're going to make a fortune with this place.
That was them. That was them when they found a shitty lot. They were like, you know, it's $50 a month and you don't check on your tenants? All right. But we made our first step towards remedying my complete ignorance of the commercial aspect of Hamtramck today.
Yeah.
Didn't we? Where did we go? We went to a new place.
We took a little walk.
We went to the Joyful Noise Thrift Shop.
Just Joy Thrift.
Oh, okay.
I think there is a Joyful Noise, but I don't know where.
It sounded right.
Yeah.
You know,
but just Joy.
Joy Thrift. It's been open for.
It's relatively new, year or two.
A year or two. It's run by some Christian organization, isn't it?
I think so.
Some kind of thing. You're so disappointed.
Yeah. Well, they had some tapes, some VHS tapes.
Your collection is a lot more impressive, knowing that you thrift most of them,
mm-hmm.
and seeing the selection of tapes that they had.
Mm-hmm.
They had like four tapes. Is that like a normal thing in a thrift shop that like they do have tapes, but there's like maybe four, maybe a dozen?
Yeah.
Because you've got whole walls of VHS tapes.
Yeah. They're hard to come by now. Sometimes you run into a place that's like out of the way and they've got just stacks and stacks of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly just crap that you don't really want. But, you know, I keep an eye out for the horror stuff and picked one up. They had Ghost Ship.
Ghost Ship? I remember watching Ghost Ship when I don't know how. Oh boy, this is gonna be an embarrassing story depending on when it came out.
It was early 2000s, I feel like.
Oh boy, okay. So that puts me at like 12 or 13.
Maybe the mid-noughts, I don't know.
Hopefully not mid-noughts, because that would make me 15. But I remember seeing it with my family. Like, I think my mom and maybe my sister, we went to go see Ghost Ship. And one of the first scenes in that movie is there's a big fancy party on the deck of the ship. And a metal string or metal cord or rope or whatever,
mm-hmm.
somehow snaps and it slides across the entire dance floor on the deck, and everyone's quiet and they're like kind of looking at each other like, what the fuck was that? And then slowly all of their bodies just split in half and they fell on the deck and then boom, ghost ship.
Yep.
And like I told my mom, I was just like, I don't want to watch this movie. I'm pretty sure we walked out of the fucking, nice. I think we did. I do remember being definitely disturbed at that point and being like, I don't want to see this movie. But I do remember eventually at least watching it, like facing my fear.
Yeah. That was the best part of it. Well, or the worst part, depending on your perspective.
Sure, sure.
I don't remember anything else about it, but I've seen it.
Yeah, that's the one thing you remember.
I do remember that.
Okay, okay. So at least I have, at least my sensitive young mind was impacted by what was a good scene.
Yeah.
The jewel of Ghost Ship. So that was good. We got Ghost Ship. And
then we picked up a screener of Hocus Pocus.
Screener of Hocus Pocus. A screener is like something they send to who?
It's like
a production company sends it to?
Yeah, they send it to like a video. Well, they used to send it to video rental places to be like, you should carry this. And it's like a demo copy.
Okay. Like,
check it out. See how many you want to buy.
Okay.
In order to rent or sell.
Man, I do love the idea of being a tape store owner who gets like a monthly list of VHS tapes, and it's like his job to sit with the clipboard,
mm-hmm.
watch it, and like determine how many he needs to buy.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like the life to me. Running through catalogs, buying things, stocking things,
yeah.
standing behind, being a counter jockey, you know,
mm-hmm.
but a hard-nosed counter jockey, you know, who handles everything. That's the life, man. Okay. Alas, no longer. It's a dead profession.
Yeah. So, yeah, the screeners are rare because they only were for a very specific group of people. And
yeah, nowadays people send downloads.
Nowadays, yeah. Nowadays, they kind of go for more than you would expect.
Okay.
Collectors.
Did you take a look at the Hocus Pocus screener value?
I did.
Wow. What are you coming across?
They're selling on eBay for 25 on average.
Oh, dang. That is nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice chunk of change. How is the wear on that tape that you picked up?
The cover is a little worn. The tape's clean.
Cover's worn. People want the cover mostly for these kind of things. But, okay.
So, but, I mean, on average, they're for 25, like good condition. I've seen them go for 35, 40.
Okay.
So I figure I could get 20 for it. I paid 50 cents for it.
There you go. There you go. That's a flip right there. That's money. This is you walking to a thrift store.
We're going to make a fortune in this place.
So that's cool, man. Like that's the kind of thing that gets me really interested. Like we were talking, walking and talking today, and the more we, you know, go over this idea, the more I kind of want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Where we start a fake store. And and the fake store is just about like flipping tapes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot like Comic Book Men or Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
But it's all based on VHS tapes. There's like a store front, you know, tapes everywhere. People come in, try to sell tapes, try to buy tapes. And we sit there behind the counter. We try to maximize our profit with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also get into hijinks, little B stories. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah. So, like, that would be an amazing project I would love to do. That would be, like, that could be the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm putting down roots here and I'm like, fuck it, this is my place.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think in 2-3 years' time, if you see me talking about Hamtramck tapes with a Z.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll know I'm a man fulfilling a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And you should take inspiration from that. You should feel that little lightheaded giddiness you feel when you're a child and you watch the Oscars and you see Brad Pitt clapping. Mm-hmm. And some guy with a weird nose is accepting a little golden statue. And it's saying his dreams are fulfilled. Because that's what I'd be doing at that point, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
You know, did you ever watch the Oscars as a kid?
No.
No? Okay. When I was a kid, I would always catch the award shows,
hmm.
and I'd always get super into it. It's what I imagine people who get into sports a lot feel, but it's all condensed in like an hour,
yeah,
or two, because it's like a lot of preamble. So
did you prepare for the shows? Did you watch all the movies that are?
Oh, not at all.
No.
I just feel like one.
I have no idea what's going on.
I have no idea. I'd be like,
hey, they're clapping for that guy. Good job, guy.
I'm just enthusiastic participant in the whole affair is what it is. So the next story we went to, what was that?
Showtime,
which is a terrible name for any business to be Googled with.
Yes,
because you Google Showtime and
get a bunch of theater listings.
And it can be very hard to convince Google that you don't want theater listings, because it's pretty well trained to accept Showtime. All you need, you want to know when the next Despicable Me movie's out. They're on like the fifth one right now, right?
Yeah,
the yellow guys with the overalls,
something like that.
Are you into those things?
No.
If you saw a VHS tape, and it's the Despicable Me.
Not interested.
I think you should be, because there's no way that there's an actual VHS tape release. That's up there with screener copies.
I guess.
You know?
That's a bootleg VHS of Despicable Me.
Yeah. But like if the cover's done really well.
Yeah. Well, you know. I mean, they do have, there are modern releases of VHS.
There are?
They're usually small runs that like basically nerds do for other nerds.
So people bootleg the movies, what you're saying?
They get licensing.
They do the licensing.
But they're expensive to produce. They're more expensive than like 4Ks to produce.
Yeah, because the machinery just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Right?
So they run you, like a new tape will run you $30 generally.
Damn.
And but there's been tape releases licensed of like some of the newer horror movies. I think there's one for, I don't want to say any titles because I'm not sure, but I know. Okay. I follow some folks on Instagram that like produce them.
Okay. So it's like mostly horror things that
usually, yeah.
What do you think is with VHS tape and horror people? Like, why is there a confluence there?
I don't know if other like movie, if other cinephiles really collect horror in the same way. I think there's just a nostalgia, like 80s and 90s were such a prime time for like the slasher movies. And there's just this nostalgia around going to a Blockbuster on a Friday night and getting a bunch of movies that you shouldn't be watching and like hanging out with your friends and.
Okay.
I don't know. It's pretty much just nostalgia, I guess.
Okay. I suppose so. But like so many movies were released on VHS tape of all different genres.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't there a group of friends watching
There's something
Titanic?
About horror fans that like we just get really into what we're into.
Get into the media.
It's just attracts a certain kind of person, I guess. I don't know.
I do notice that like in this sphere of things, it doesn't even matter if the people like the movie.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes when they don't like the movie, it's better.
Because it's fun. Fun to make fun of it.
Yeah.
It's kinda, I guess that's why, you don't get people who are into, like, historical dramas, like, really.
Imagine.
Going all out.
Imagine the boys at the end of the Schindler's List VHS. Like, what's that conversation like? You see that little girl in the red jacket? Yeah, I don't think she made it, man. I don't think it turned out well for her. But they didn't show it on tape.
So, yeah, maybe that's another thing. Like, just the way that genre was consumed, it became kind of meta and like a joke sometimes. And that's part of the fun of it.
Part of the fun is the antiquated antiquated equipment used to create this. This might mean that.
I mean, that's another big part too, is there was so much schlock in the 80s and early 90s that just went straight to video that you can't get any other way.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. You know, is there like tapes you have that have Absolutely no way to watch in a digital manner.
I imagine Monkey Boy.
Really? You can't watch Monkey Boy on streamers?
I would be surprised if you could find it.
You know, maybe we should record it and upload it.
Yeah.
To Pirate Bay or something.
Mutant Hunt? I'm not sure. Maybe you could find that streaming, but I think it did just get a proper Blu-ray release, but it's not a good movie.
Okay. Not like Monkey Bone or Monkey Boy.
Monkey Boy.
Yeah, Monkey Bone's got plenty of tapes. You can watch Monkey Bone anywhere. Mm-hmm. Anywhere streaming can be had. Monkey Bone's on every streaming services.
Yeah.
It's because of the Brendan Fraser sods.
Mm-hmm.
Renaissance. Brendasance.
That's true.
Anyways, we were talking about Showtime.
Yes,
we were. The TV store. Not the TV store. It has nothing to do with TV.
We got on.
Or movies.
It sounds like it has something to do with movies, but it's a clothing store for affluent rock stars, apparently.
apparently they got to be affluent. It's a clothing store specifically for musicians, to the point where we walked in and one of the first questions the guy asked us was if we're in a band,
mm-hmm.
You know? And I was like, no, we have a podcast. He had no idea what to do with that information. But, the owner of the place is Dan. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess the way I would put it is when you walk in that store, you are in his hands. You do what he says and walk around. He'll ask you a couple questions. He'll try to entertain you for a while. Be prepared to spend money. I do not know. I really want to see his books.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see his like sales records because there used to be a store in Cass Corridor.
Right.
I don't know how long ago, but he recently reopened it and put it in Hamtramck. And the idea is he's selling to people in bands.
Mm-hmm.
But look, I know a lot of musicians around town who do their thing and, you know, to varying degrees of success,
mm-hmm.
Some fantastically successful and others not so much.
Yeah.
But I would say not a single one of them would spend the kind of money that the guy's asking for.
Yeah.
For a shirt or a thing. And the looks seem to be catered towards something between hair metal and what would you think?
70s glam 70s rock glam. Kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely
very elaborate jackets. And
yeah, it's almost like a destination
yeah.
place kind yeah. of shopping experience.
I mean, their t-shirts were reasonably affordable.
$25-$30.
Yeah, a little more than I would pay for a t-shirt typically, but
yeah.
Not like the most obscene that I've ever seen.
And I will say that the shirts and that are there are done up, and they do look. You put something on, and you'll think to, even though they have multiple shirts, like each pattern, mm-hmm. you will feel like, you know, this is my style. This is me. It's very they do serve an iconic look.
Yeah,
and I guess a lot of it has to do with the attitude. So. It looks very 80s,
mm-hmm.
very hair metal, but I was thinking while I was there, I was like, look, Scott Cass hasn't had a live show in eons.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. And I would like to get Scott Cass on that stage again, you know, because we've grown as people and entertainers
yeah.
and performers. And what if we did a show? We'll get all done up in Showtime stuff. Maybe we'll get the guy to sponsor us so we don't have to pay him any money. I don't think he'll appreciate that. But maybe he will. Maybe he will.
I mean, I was thinking, like, we put on, even though we haven't released anything, we put on quite a production at Astronomicon last time.
That's true. Oh, you know, that's very correct.
Mingled with a lot of celebrities.
Yeah.
And I could don a Showtime Hamtramck t-shirt and a fancy jacket and mingle with celebrities again.
Yeah.
Kind of get the word out there, you know?
You know, that's not a bad idea.
If I get a weird fucking jacket, they're going to be like, where did you get that jacket? And I'm going to be like, Showtime Hamtramck.
Right.
You know, every time a celebrity asks us that on tape, he pays us $20. we're just like poking like fucking Alec Baldwin. I don't know who's at the, but not gonna be Alec Baldwin. He's busy.
John Lovitz.
John Lovitz. Hey, kid. Where do you? Yeah. So I'm still working on that, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a good video, but it's a lot. I have a lot
of
time.
It was a lot of stuff.
We have happening. Yeah. I think the tape that we did is like we did 3 or 4 hours of commentary on the tape that we collected. So, Ian's talking about a production that is definitely coming out. We went to Astronomicon like 5. They're on Astronomicon 7 now. And I need to release it so I can get us tickets to Astronomicon 7. But that's a great idea, though.
Yeah.
Go there. We'll work out some deal with Dan from Showtime. We'll look super fancy. We'll talk to all the wrestling stars.
Mm-hmm.
So all the wrestling stars are going to be there. We've got Kane, Mankind.
That's really more exciting than the wrestling stars I got to mingle with.
That's right. Well, I mean, you got Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. That was a pretty good one. Yeah, the other ones were kind of B-listers. I would have to say. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. They'd have to dig through it.
Yeah.
If you're a wrestling star and I just called you a B-lister and you ended up...
It's just because we don't watch wrestling.
Yeah.
We don't really know who's who.
All I really watch is... Instagram clips of Stone Cold Steve Austin writing.
I know Mankind. So.
Yeah, I would get an orange thing. I asked the man for orange because I was like, if I'm gonna be on stage for anything these days, it's gonna be Scott Cast. Yeah. You know, I'm not about to pick up a guitar and start wailing out tunes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about to be in the stand up circuit. If I'm gonna do anything, I'm gonna put my entertainment energy into Scott Cast. So if I'm going to do that, I want to match the brand. The brand is just obscene, disgusting orange.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one shirt that he had, but I've got weird arms, he says. I have a small body and very long arms.
Yeah.
So we weren't able to find a fit for one of the orange shirts I had.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like while we were there, I will say that a lot of people work there. There's Dan. There's the lady who complimented my shirt when I was trying it on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that wasn't manipulative. There's that old fella hanging out with Dan.
The PJ's Lager House hat on or something.
Yeah, PJ's Lager. He was done up. I feel like they gave him some of the ditties from the store to put on. They had a live band upstairs playing music. A lot of people just to get us to buy a shirt.
Yeah.
And we did not buy a shirt.
I mean, it's probably kind of like our store idea. They're just like doing what they want to do and hanging out. And
yeah.
It doesn't really matter if they sell anything.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we're part of some reality show.
Yeah.
That's being filmed there. The only difference between our idea and their idea is I'm pretty sure they're in it for the money. Our idea would be like, okay, we need to raise money so we can waste it.
Yeah.
You know, we got the collection. We got the collection as far as props are concerned.
True.
We just need a facade that shows like a counter, a public, public facing place and, some shelving. You know, maybe some other kind of decorations that really do it up. Because, what's that one thing you really like? The Red Letter Media.
Mm-hmm.
They do one of the shows where they fake being VHS repairmen.
Yeah,
and so they make a facade.
Mm-hmm.
They have a facade.
Yeah,
I feel like they have a warehouse of facades.
They do. They have a.
That's too much. So we need to get a warehouse. Warehouse or start a store. I don't know. We've got a lot of plans in the Scott Cast pipe.
Yeah.
If you're interested in investing in any of these plans, I'll start a PayPal donation link or something. All right, we're back and we're going to do A little taste test. Now it's time for a little ScottCast taste test. Everyone loves the ScottCast taste tests.
Me too.
Like, I hear about them a lot, and which kind of confuses me a little bit, honestly. Because, I mean, I guess it's like, I work so hard on all the other topics, and this is the least difficult thing we do.
Yeah.
All we do is this. And we enjoy a little drink, and we describe the drink. What drink are we having right now?
We're having a winter lager from Brew Detroit.
Winter lager from Brew Detroit. Okay. It's a spice lager with cinnamon, nutmeg, and ginger. Let's have a little sip.
Really get the nutmeg in there.
A lot of nutmeg. They should have called it nutmeg. Nut and meg.
It's nice though. It's not too heavy. It's like light, but it's got that kind of warm winter spice.
It has the winter spice. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about winter and the need for spices like nutmeg and cinnamon. Because I don't know. They don't necessarily warm me, but I feel like I'm in a cozy log cabin in the woods. And there's like a deer loping through the woods, looking out and then going back to the woods because it's afraid of humans.
Probably because it reminds you of like Thanksgiving, like pumpkin pie.
Thanksgiving pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see that being a factor in this. But it's even further, though, into winter. You know, there's a mulled wine. Have you ever had mulled wine?
Yeah.
Mulled wine is basically hot wine with these exact spices.
Yeah.
Cinnamon, nutmeg, and ginger. You know, you get yourself a little pot. You fire up the gas stove. You pour in some red wine.
Mm-hmm.
You boil the shit out of it. And then you put in nutmeg and cinnamon.
Get rid of all the alcohol.
Oh, yeah. You start a fire. Don't boil the shit out of wine, guys. Just heat it. And heat it up to like 110 degrees. That's bathtub temperature for the uninitiated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put the spices in. But I don't know why the spices, but I guess you're right. It's the Thanksgiving.
It's just an association we have because of when we have them the most.
Yeah. I bet what it is that in the olden times, during the winter, all the food was shit. So they had to put as much different weird spices in it as possible to overwhelm the shit flavor.
Yeah.
And because like that's kind of a common trait of cinnamon, nutmeg, and ginger is that they're overwhelming.
They're intense flavors.
It's not like salt and pepper.
You put nutmeg in something, it's like a very small amount.
Yeah, if you put nutmeg in something, you're having nutmeg. Everything, whatever you're putting it on is just a vessel for nutmeg. But I like it. How would you rate this on a scale of 1 to 10?
I like it. It's not like something I would drink all the time, you know?
No.
But it's for a change up, it's nice.
It's good for today.
Give it like a solid 8.
Solid 8?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I give it a 10. 10 out of 10.
All right.
It does what it's what it says on the label.
It is.
It does exactly what it says on the label.
That's true.
You don't often get that. Sometimes you do. This is one of those times.
Before we cracked into that, we had another one there too.
Yeah.
I'm out of mine, but I can't give you like in the moment taste notes. But I had a good time with it.
Okay. What was the beer?
It was a heavy beer company, Black Metal, Black IPA. Crafted in Ohio.
Crafted in Ohio.
And, with the spirit of black metal in mind, summons forth the unholy marriage of bright and rich that extols your desire for something juicy and something dark. 6.66% alcohol by volume.
Now that is... I don't know how they do that. 6.66% is a very specific amount of alcohol, clearly for marketing purposes.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think it's like really 6.66666 repeating, or did they just?
What I think happened is, like, I think the law says you got to be within a threshold,
yeah,
like 0.5 or something like that. And they're just like, well, 6.66 is within, you know, 6.5. So we could just say it. Because, like, are you really going to notice 0.16 difference?
True.
Of alcohol. It's not exactly something you can figure out.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's what the case is. It's crafted in Ohio, which is okay, I guess.
Toledo.
Toledo. So
almost Michigan. Didn't it used to be Michigan? There was a war about Toledo.
Exactly. There was a territorial dispute between Ohio and Michigan, which is why either or doesn't like each other. And it was over that strip of land with Toledo, because Toledo's a port town in it.
Yeah.
So they wanted that port town. But too bad for them. Well, too bad for us. We don't get that port town. Mm-hmm. Too bad for them. There's more Ohio.
Yeah.
You know? It's a longer journey if you're going through the state. But it's fine. It's fine. They make a good heavy metal beer.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. It's a good dark beer.
Yeah. It was interesting the way things balanced. Like, it was... You got... just a hint of the hoppy IPA stuff you expect, but it was pretty, like, malted, more of the dark flavors.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right. So it sits like a stout, but it blooms like an IPA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got both of those actions. So considering this was somewhat of a novelty purchase.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with this. How would you rate it?
It was tasty. I would give that I'd give that a 9.
That's nice. That's nice. It's got a few dings to me. It's from Ohio. I think the 6.66% is a bit of a marketing gimmick, but it's well executed.
I feel like you can determine how much alcohol you want in something and, like, adjust the sugars.
Yeah,
ahead of time, and or the yeast.
The thing about that for me is that, like, whatever it is they have to do that, they have to do it to at least a slightly more exaggerated scale, because they're ensuring not just 6.6% or 6.5, which you would see on a normal can,
yeah,
but 6.66. That's 10 times as accurate.
It's a lot of measurement, I imagine, yeah.
Yeah. So,
a lot of math ahead of the brewing process.
So between that, they're 12-ounce cans instead of pints. Mm-hmm. You want a pint when you're in our league.
That's true.
You want a pint.
That's a ding on it.
That's a ding. So how many dings we got? 3, 4, 5?
3.
3. Okay, with all that in mind, I give it a 10 out of 10. It's a beautiful beer. I'll have it again. That's been our beer review.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. It's our service to the world. Just drinking beer and going on about it. Oh, my God. It's a good value for money.
Yeah.
Good value for money. I've been into value for money lately because I have to buy everything in my life again.
Mm-hmm.
And I discover newly the dollar store, or should I say more specifically, because of inflation, the $1.25 store.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I thought, since it's not a dollar store anymore, that they're just like cheap stuff and everything's variable priced.
Mm-hmm.
But no. Everything in that store is $1.25. And let me tell you, the magic of rediscovering that is just as strong as discovering that there's a store that sells everything for a dollar. It's just as strong. Because we're a cashless society these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the banks are getting rich off us because they're taking a percentage of every transaction back and forth from both sides, merchant and customer.
That's pretty shitty.
Yeah. Let's get back to cash.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, let's revel in the fact the $1.25 store exists. A lot of stuff I was going to buy on Amazon, have it delivered here, have to talk to a barista to get my package, can be found at the $1.25 store for 10 times less the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some great experiences with that. I bought some ceramics, ceramic wares, some plates, cups. I bought a chopping board. But the thing I want to review right now is I bought a towel because I really wanted to take a shower.
Okay. I'm excited to hear about the $1.25 towel.
So I got a black towel, $1.25. Go to take a shower, enjoy the shower. It was a good shower. I get the towel. I didn't do any pre-washing. And I dry myself off, and I look at my body, my naked body, and I am absolutely covered in black fuzzy shit. I'm like, I had to tell, like, I don't want to get too vulgar on this podcast, but I had to take like 3 minutes to scrub my dick free of black fuzzy things. Cause I feel like particularly in that area, you don't want to have things just sticking to it for a while.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to take a shower after I took my shower. And I did it again, and then I was like, okay, fine. And then I got like a little washcloth I had, and I went really minute across my entire body to get most of it off. I swear I probably still have some on me right now.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, it is a $1.25 towel. And I'm still very happy with the $1.25 store.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure once you wash it and get some of the lint out of it, that it'll dry without fuzzies.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure how well it'll dry, but
it's not going to dry because it didn't dry when it was fresh. Like I was just wet and covered in fuzz. It just disintegrated on my body. So I don't know. So that's going to be one of the objects I splurged on, but I really needed to douse myself in water, and it was worth it for that.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about getting a Turkish towel. You ever see a Turkish towel?
No.
They look like rugs.
Mm.
They even got like the little frillies at the end.
Okay.
But I hear they dry really well and they dry really fast.
Hmm.
So you dry yourself with them and you put it up and it's like no time at all. It's clean and ready to go again.
Interesting.
So I'm gonna give that a shot.
Okay.
And it's like drying yourself off with a rug. So stay tuned next week where I'll have a different towel review. What other entertainment outlet gives you this variety of like entertainment, information, recommendations?
We really are all over the place.
None. That's what I'm saying. Absolutely none. Hell, we're not going to be able to do it this week unless I pause the podcast and we come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any faith that we'd be podcast worthy after this, but we will give a review on the fried peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Oh yeah, we will.
Look forward to that. I've fallen out of the habit of telling people to look forward to things on Scottcast. And I think that has done work on our numbers because people are like, I don't know why I'm listening. But if I tell you something like this, next week, we're going to tell you exactly how they fry a peanut butter or jelly sandwich, whether it's good, and if anybody ended up in hospital. You're going to want to listen to that episode.
Yeah.
You know, if you made it this far through and you hear that, you're on for the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, we didn't get hit by the big Apple purge, as I described in the previous episode. Where Apple stopped automatically downloading podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
And podcast providers like the New York Times, a lot of news providers, a lot of news providers found out that their listenership on podcasts was like 10% what they thought it was. Which makes a lot of sense because I've subscribed to a lot of like news podcasts being like, I'm going to be a guy who listens to the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I never listen to the news. Like if I want news, I'll go onto Facebook and see what my uncle posts. You know, that's fine enough for me. But I don't want to listen to news. When I want to put on a podcast, I want to listen to idiots talk. That makes me feel happy.
Yeah.
They say that you're as successful as the five people you surround yourself with most. Mm. And I think a big thing that explains everything for me personally in my lot in life is that I mostly listen to podcasts where it's just a bunch of idiots talking. And if you count parasocial relationships in that five people.
Yeah.
Like you're doing a lot of work being my friend, Ian, because you're a fine, respectable human being. Mm. But the people I listen to are not. So you keep me afloat, man. But I'm cruising on the low culture in the podcast world. Mm. With that, all that said, there is also yet more podcasting news if you're interested in hearing about it.
Of course.
This one has a big effect for us.
Hmm.
It's something I didn't anticipate. And it's something that might affect the availability of Scottcasts, particularly the classic episodes, in the future.
Hmm.
Apple Podcasts has taken it upon themselves to transcribe every single podcast.
Uh-oh.
I was banking on us not being very searchable. But apparently we're going to be very searchable. We have talked a lot upon many different varied subjects, including but not limited to necrophilia.
Yeah.
And various other philias.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not we consent to said philias or not.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler, we do. And
yeah, I feel like I don't know, that's problematic because I've said a lot of things.
I'm gonna cut that out, put it at the beginning. I've said a lot of things. Go on.
Said a lot of things that could be construed as like unacceptable. But I feel like in the context of what we say, what the conversation is, that like, if you listen to the whole thing, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But if you're taking just clips, like
we take people on a journey to the weird. It's a journey to the weird. We're not pushing people in a pit of
exactly.
Weird. We're guiding them by the hand from a place of safe, content exploration through the woods to this weird, fascinating thing that glistens before them,
right,
like necrophilia. And then we guide them.
Yeah,
back.
I never encouraged anybody to participate in necrophilia.
Never once.
I just said that if someone wanted to have sex with my dead body, that would be okay.
According to you. Not necessarily according to the statutes of the state they're in or
consent given.
Okay. If that is an aspect of the legal trial afterwards, I'm sure it will be noted. But I do not think it will be a get out of jail free card for people. But yeah, man, you know, we're going to be transcribed. We're going to have all of that, those things we've said. I mean, just today we talked very much at length about exactly where I'm located.
Yeah.
You know, and like that makes me think, like, I don't know, should I do some screwy things with the podcast, some RSS shit? Like, should I make it so that like only like a few episodes are available at a time?
It's Panopticon.
It's Panopticon,
it's
man.
It's the man trying to get you to censor yourself.
You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe I should. Maybe I should take my pants off and stand in the window of society. That's the title. But yeah, maybe I fucking should, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I stand by this.
Yeah.
You want to fucking Google my name and start disparaging
me? Why are they
me?
Looking in your windows?
Yeah, exactly. And why are you pigeonholing me, man? Like, why are you looking up necrophilia on the internet? Sir or madame?
Right.
Come on, man. Like,
or a potential employer searching my name.
Why are you looking at my name, Mister? I have financial responsibility to do so. I mean, look, if I ever get employed in some kind of public capacity, I'm totally fine going by a pseudonym. So any potential customers will only know me as Rob. So Google that, future employer. But anyway, yeah, man. So I feel like the play is definitely to just stick to what we're doing and have faith in the process, you know, because that's where success is bred, is to just stick with the process and do it. And like, everything's a learning experience and stuff like that. But also another part of me is just like, you know, burn it all. That's my two modes.
Yeah.
Is stick with it forever, completely, and burn it all.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that about myself.
Interesting.
So, you know, without getting too deep into the psychology of Scott on a publicly transcribed podcast. See, now look at this. Now it's affecting us.
Yeah.
It's affecting how candid we could be with our audience that we built.
That's right.
Apple didn't do shit for
both
us.
Both of you.
Both of you are here because we worked for you. We did so much, and Apple Podcasts is trying to take that away, trying to make me feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a transcribed episode is good for search results in a way, because it's very keyword rich, you could say. Because like, the descriptions I write for the episodes are just like 3 or 4 sentences that does not at all cover everything we talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the transcriptions out there and publicly searchable, people could say they're into necrophilia. Google it. Google necrophilia with some long tail additions to it. Like, necrophilia, legal status, consent. Opinions? Question mark? And then boom. Episode 1.
Yep.
It's very possible, you know, and like, so we could get a little boost from it.
Yeah.
You know, from,
We talk a lot about beer. Maybe,
we do talk a lot about beer.
We'll draw some beer folks and someone will be interested in our banter and nonsense.
Yeah. The heavy beer company people will be like Googling us and being like, why do they hate Ohio so much? We're in Toledo. We're practically Michigan. You know,
this is a serious investigation.
Okay, well, for now, don't worry. Don't change your podcast dial. Don't panic and download all the episodes in the catalog. Although if you do that, it will make us look awesome.
Yeah.
You know, to potential advertisers. But I'll give a warning. I'll give 3 weeks warning if we end up deciding to cut things off, unless legal action is taken.
Yeah.
In which case, I won't give no warning. It's my contract.
And we could always, if we remove them from public access, we could set up a Patreon for...
We could.
...folks who wanted to be able to get to that.
That's fair. Yeah, we could have a premium option where people, if you're really into Scottcast and you want to get those classic vibes out...
Yeah.
You know, subscribe to Patreon.
Hold on to your butts.
What is the strangest thing you've found at the thrift shop?
The strangest thing?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't buy it, but Brian and I went to a thrift store kind of recently in the last couple of months, and there was like a book about vegan food for... I don't remember the word, the like specific title or word, verbiage they used, but it was basically like, it was like a vegan cookbook that was equating sex with food, kind of, but okay. Also had like an astrology kind of vibe throughout.
Wow. Okay. A very specific book.
Yeah. It was very strange.
Okay.
And I didn't think it was practical to have... But now I kind of regret not getting it because it was so weird.
Right. The weirder the thing is, the better it is, especially from a thrift store.
Yeah. but it was like, it had like the classic aphrodisiacs, I guess, chocolate and not oysters, because that's not vegan, but fucking what else?
There's no way oysters are living creatures. They're just weird mold things.
Yeah. But then it had all these like common things that you wouldn't think had specific energies to them, like asparagus. Like, that's not sexy at all.
No, it's not. Like, every time I eat asparagus, all it's I think
the
is
the
like,
least sexy thing. I like, mean, it's kind of phallus shaped, but it's
not a good phallus.
No.
Like a weird, weird skinny weird, phallus.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a.
I only think about how my pee smells after.
Exactly.
And like, I don't. Well. I don't want to get too dirty on the podcast, but like, let's say you have a lot of asparagus,
mm-hmm.
and then the order of the day is a little blowjob.
Yeah.
Do you succeed? You finish? Does it taste like you had asparagus? Because peeing has a smell.
Yeah. It does.
I don't know where the smell is introduced in the system.
I don't know either.
So if you're...
That's a concern.
If you ever took in a load from someone with asparagus, email in.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're related to me. Then don't do that. So I found a news story about somebody who found something odd at a thrift store.
Okay.
In the Halloween aisle. So it's something that you've probably, it could have happened to you.
Maybe.
In fact, the person who found it happens to be an anthropologist
okay.
by trade. Bronwyn, your wife, is an educated anthropologist.
Yes.
So this person was walking through a Florida thrift store.
Okay.
And they found a decoration aisle, and there was a skull.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like, ooh, that's a good-looking skull. Let me take a look. Wait a minute. This skull is real. It was for sale for $15.
Okay.
And he alerted the store and law enforcement. The law enforcement came by and recovered the skull, and they were like, yeah, this is definitely a human skull.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the store found the skull in a storage unit that was bought.
Nice. Okay.
And the article ends with the phrase, the case is not believed to be suspicious. But I'm pretty suspicious of whoever owned the storage unit.
Yeah.
With the human skull in it.
There are varying laws about buying human remains.
How do you know this, and what are they?
I think in most states it's not legal, but I don't think in all states it is not legal.
Florida seems like a state
that would
allow it. Yeah, let it go. Texas, for sure.
There was a recent scandal, like the president of Harvard's mortuary science program or something, or like the morgue director or something,
mm-hmm.
Was kind of had a side gig where he was selling bodies that people donated for science, and like
yeah.
he would sell them to a middle man who would sell them to people on the internet.
Well, he's a science man.
Mm-hmm.
The money is going to science. You know, I would call that legitimate.
Mm. Yeah, when people donate their bodies to Harvard Medical School, it's for like medical students to study, not for.
What do the people who donate their bodies to science like know about science?
True,
there's so many things about science,
like having your skull in my storage unit.
Yeah. The hypothesis is it will not go to a thrift store. Turns out it was rebuked. Turns out to be nullified. We'll have to run this 1,500 more times, see mm-hmm. if that's the average. We need a lot of skulls. But
yeah, there's people online definitely selling human remains, and
man, what is
that's it? Not ethical in any way, but it's not illegal sometimes.
It depends. Yeah, I guess how you dance around.
But I think if you're selling across state lines, it's probably illegal.
I mean, yeah, it gets to federal then.
Yeah.
And then federal's probably not going to frown upon.
But maybe like within the state of Florida, it was legally acquired, depending on how it was initially just acquired.
Set up different corporations in each state and, you know, be very careful transferring things across state lines. Transfer it across state lines for pleasure. You're bringing the human skull for pleasure. to Iowa. And you visit a USPS there.
So how many of these suspicious storefronts in Hamtramck you think are trafficking human skulls?
It's hard to say because I don't think any of these storefronts are climate controlled in a very reasonable way.
That's true.
For something like body.
Well,
body
bones things. Don't need that much.
No, they don't need that much.
If it was like, yeah, preserved parts, I guess they would have to be pretty, I don't know, jars with fluids and stuff. I don't know. I don't know how to fucking do that shit.
The old Hamtramck diner, old Coney, Hamtramck Coney Island,
yeah,
has been out of business for years.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a guy who's been renovating it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing you can see is that the glass doors on the inside, you know, they're kind of like a mud room and then the restaurant.
Yeah.
Have been replaced with solid wood black doors.
Mm-hmm.
That's a place that could have refrigeration and all that. Yeah. I believe if there is a place that is selling bodies that require refrigeration, it is that place because they've been sitting on this for years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting. I've been so excited. I saw the heavy black doors and I was like, oh, this is going to be like a sushi place. This is going to be like maybe a place you can get a good steak, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. maybe a good long pig, if you know what I mean. You know
yeah.
What I'm saying? Yeah. It's a cannibal term.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the place to get your body parts. Yeah, man. How much do you think you would buy a human skull? Like, you're in a thrift shop.
Yeah.
You see a human skull. It's a great condition. Maybe it's plastic. Maybe it's not.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect a price for that to be? Because you're better at thrifting than I am. You know what a thrift price is.
I mean, for like a good replica.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay more than 20.
You wouldn't pay more than 20.
No.
But if you looked at it and your anthropologist wife was like, that's real, would you?
I would be uncomfortable with having an actual skull.
You would?
Yeah.
You have Mein Kampf.
I didn't purchase that or request that.
It was sent to you and you were just like, well, I got to put it on the shelf. His grandfather killed Nazis. Anyways, yeah. Go on. this is a little footnote for the Apple transcribers.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So I've consented for whoever to do whatever with my body. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't really care because I don't believe in stuff. But I don't know what other people believe, and I don't want to step on anybody's idea of like sanctity of bodies or whatever. And, like, nobody just sells their skull for retail.
No one sells their skull for retail. That's another good title. Oh, boy, we have a selection tonight. I don't know, man. Like, I could.
Yeah.
I could. Like, I would love, like, you know me. I want Scott Cass to live forever, even beyond my own death. And a good way to do it, and I've been thinking about this, is using the generative AI that has been coming out. Like, there's AI that can do a host of things.
Mm-hmm.
It can replicate a voice, the character of a voice. It can replicate speech, mm-hmm. like their chosen speech, like the words they use.
Yeah.
Word choice and stuff like that. And it can, you know, combine all this stuff. I was thinking, get a skull. Put a little hardware in it,
mm-hmm.
like a little USB port, maybe. Press the temple, and it plays a new Scottcast episode for you.
Yeah. If we could ethically source a skull, I would be into that.
Right here, baby. When I die, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take my skull out. Put that technology in it,
boy.
Get
some legal documents written up and we'll do it.
Look, we already discussed this earlier. It's the first person to die in the Scottcast triumvirate. It's a race between me and Ian. And David's definitely going to outlive both of us.
Definitely.
So that's what we're going to have to do is we're going to make David do it. We're not going to have any legal documentation, but he's going to feel the need. He's going to dig up our fucking grave, take our fucking head. You know, he's got experience with bodies and shit. He's going to take our head.
That's true.
He's got, you know what? He's the perfect guy to do everything required of that.
That's true.
He's going to outlive us. He has experience cutting up bodies because he's an exercise physiologist. He knows he's a big fan of generative AI and the capabilities therein. He's my number one choice for handling my body after death. Cause he'll get all that done.
The problem is he's going to get it working and it might take him a little while. So like he's definitely going to outlive us, but he may not live like super long beyond that. I don't know. Stuff happens. But he'll get it working and it'll be fine and it'll be like passable AI, like sounds like Scott.
Yeah.
And it'll like, I can make it sound better. Yeah. And it'll fuck with it.
It'll just destroy the whole thing. You're like, no. And he will spend the rest of his life trying to get it back.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But something could happen.
Something could happen. You know, that's a good point. It's a risk I'm willing to take. Because if that's how Scottcast fails, that's how it dies. That is a death worthy of this podcast. Just David trying to get it working again in a hurry because he's live streaming it. And he has a heart attack. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Wow, we really went far this episode. Yeah. We got all the way to that. I just go to my death. You know? What kind of time we got? We got like 20 more minutes. We can do a leisurely, what did we learn today?
Yeah.
Did we learn anything today?
What did we learn? We learned...
learned about Showtime.
Shit, we learned, yeah, about that we can't really afford to shop at Showtime, but maybe we can get a little sponsorship ditty to support the pod and support the store.
Yeah.
I think we learned like... I don't know. It felt like it felt reminiscent. It felt like being back in the early days and like just the vibes here are right.
Yeah. I think the vibe is specifically an apartment with absolutely no furniture, a table and two mics.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, I don't know. There's an atmosphere.
Yeah.
With the surrounding neighborhood and
a certain giddiness with Hamtramck.
Maybe it's because we've had a couple of beers and some bourbon and whatnot.
We did, but you know, we've had plenty of chemical assistance.
Maybe
before.
It's just because like we're back together, you know?
Yeah.
Like all the international pods were, it was good to keep it going, but nothing like podding in the same space.
Potting needs to be done in the flesh, which is why I want my AI embedded in my biological being when I'm dead. It's easy to understand, assholes. I am assuming of people being like, don't do it. I don't know. No one cares. Just some judge being like, okay, why does this man have his friend's skull rubbing his temple and shit?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's hard to get what you want with your own body. I feel like there's rules about what you can request.
There is, but like at the same time, like, you know, Your body, your choice.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. That's how it is.
I agree.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
End of the day, I want that chip in my bones. And I want them bones to fucking last. I want to be dug up by aliens in 60 million years. There was a silly comic I saw recently. This has nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a... But I think it's like a Triceratops and a Parasaurolophus. And it's... And they're digging up the skeleton of a Stegosaurus. And they're just like, wow, a fossil. 80 million years old. Must be from the Jurassic period. Because the dinosaurs lived a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 300 million years. Now 65 million years ago. The end of it. If you didn't get a dinosaur fact at the end of this classic-ass episode, I'd be damned. You know? So that's what I want. I want to be dug up. And then I want there to be like a hiatus of Scottcast for some odd million years.
Mm-hmm.
And then an alien being, or maybe a further evolved being, to somehow reactivate the pod device and be like, whoa, it's making noise. No, oh, it's entertaining. In a light way. I can do dishes with it.
Sensible.
Yeah. You know, I'm not rollicking with laughter.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Get some giggles.
It's good. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's what I want after 80 million years of death. It's good. All right. I guess I learned today that, there is a vibe maybe in this town, this Hamtramck town, of what could happen, the possibilities. There's a certain hope and aspirations that are birthed here and pursued here.
Yeah.
That's an incredibly viable thing. And it's incredibly salient and visceral. You know, it's something you take notice, it's something you feel. And I'm excited to be back.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Let's go get a fucking fried PB&J.
Let's do it.
All right. Lead us out of here.
All right. Thanks. Here from us at the Super Colorful Original Telecommunicated Transmission, otherwise known as Scottcast. We bid you adieu.
See you later, Scottcast Gators.
All hail Scottcast.
Glory be to Scottcast.
Hope they can hear us in the cafe.
Hey, love Scottcast.
Better show a little respect.